This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello and welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite and I'm joined as ever by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Mum, today we're answering more questions from our lovely listeners.
Yeah,
more questions. They sent them in to us using the anonymous Google form in the bio of this episode and our social media channels. We're at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok and X.
Formerly known as Twitter and has been very popular recently. What with
really?
Meta going down. Everyone was...
Oh, were you... Did you get done by that?
Yeah.
I got done by that with Meta going down the other day. That was a nightmare.
Yeah.
I couldn't log into... I needed to be on Facebook. I don't know why. I was messaging someone on Facebook. I don't know if you do that anymore. I feel like Facebook messaging... We've all slowly moved over to WhatsApp. But there's a few people that I stay in touch with over Facebook.
Messenger.
I need to send them a message. Yeah. Mm. And I wouldn't let me log in.
Wouldn't let you log in. No.
But I put in every password and I thought,
I did.
Here.
And yeah. I thought, but I know this is the right password.
I really wasn't sure.
Well, I was very cross with it.
So then did everyone move over to Twitter to get their social media
fix? So you went onto Twitter and all it said on Twitter, all every post was, I'm on Twitter because the Meta's down.
God, we're so sad, aren't we? We just delete one thing and replace it with
another.
Yeah,
but they were still calling it Twitter.
Yeah, not X.
No.
Wonderful. So people will have seen today's title and our first question of the day. So let's get to it. This one comes from that anonymous Google form and it says, how do I get comfortable with sex? Is it as simple doing more of it? Question mark. Reading verbatim.
Do you have to read verbatim? Can't you put in a word here and there where you know it's obviously...
But I just worry that maybe sometimes their artistic license will be ruined. You know, they might be missing out words in important ways. They might be trying to send us a message. Do you remember? I think that was like a series of unfortunate events where she puts loads of spelling mistakes in it and the letters she's supposed to be using
spells something out.
It might be something like that.
They might be trying to say something like, as, is it? As simple as doing it. Right, so the as. What does as stand for? Anal sex?
Is it as simple doing...
So what this person really wants to talk about is anal sex, right?
Okay, let's have that.
Okay.
Well, we can just point them back to our episode a couple of weeks ago on anal sex.
We don't need to answer this one then.
Well, no, I think we do. But let me just give a quick bit more of context. I'm a straight guy from Nairobi. Just got out of a relationship because our sex life wasn't what she wanted. Don't want my discomfort with sex to ruin another great relationship.
This sounds like someone who's quite inexperienced. Yeah? Mm. Would you agree?
Well, I mean, they almost say as much, right? Mm. I guess they say, is it just a simple thing of doing more of it? They don't tell us their age or their experience, but it makes me think that potentially they are.
You know, doing more of it may make you feel more comfortable, but if you're just coming at sex expecting it to work and not thinking, you know, that you have to kind of work at it a bit. I mean, the trouble is that people quite often get to learn about sex by being in a relationship and having sex with somebody they like the first time, at least. So you don't go off having random sex until you've mastered having it with someone you know. So he hasn't had that opportunity, really, has he? From the sound of it, he's expecting to be having great sex with somebody he doesn't know very well, from the sound of it.
Potentially. I mean, it's interesting, though. I just got out of a relationship because our sex life wasn't what she wanted.
Well, yeah, if she didn't want to have sex, then...
Or is it the opposite? Where the way they were having sex, or how little they were having sex because of him...
Or how much they were having sex.
But he says here, how do I get comfortable with sex?
Well, I mean, my guess is that there's a problem like losing his erection or early ejaculation, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's thinking that it's the discomfort with sex which is ruining the relationship, or his early ejaculation, whatever it is that's ruining the relationship. But it might be that he's so awkward about it that she feels, oh, why am I doing this? Or it might be that that it's just a relationship that, was never going to go anywhere. It might be nothing to do with the sex.
It sounds to me like this is performance anxiety. It's basically what you're saying here is it's performance anxiety to some degree. And it's like they're putting a lot of pressure on sex. They need to be good at it. They need their partner to have a good time. Yeah. And that's why there's this level of discomfort and they don't feel comfortable with it. But that's the thing. They need to get out of the mindset of like, this must be amazing. And this must be amazing for me and my partner. And just get back to enjoying themselves.
Well, exploring with one another without intercourse is probably a good idea, because I think this person is probably placing all the pressure on intercourse. So maybe if you're having intercourse with no foreplay or particular stimulation of the partner, that might be what's not going so well.
Yeah.
If you're fooling around with one another, that can be the best sex you ever have in those early days when you're first discovering sex. And then, you know, when you get round, we've said this often enough, when you get round to intercourse, it's not as much fun as the other stuff was sometimes. Mm. Not for everybody, but sometimes it's not. Mm. And it's because there isn't, you're not making the effort there. You're not doing the stimulating. You're not relaxed. You're worrying about performance all of a sudden when before it was just fooling around.
Yeah.
So the pressure's on. So I think more fooling around, less penis in vagina sex. And if you continue to have problems, then I would go and see a sex therapist.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are sex therapists in Nairobi. It doesn't matter if there aren't, because they're all over the world and you can see them online.
Yeah, on Zoom and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But in a word then, so, getting comfortable with sex, is it just doing more of it? No.
It's not just doing more of it. It's doing it in the right situation. I mean, in the olden days when people had sex when they were married more, you'd go through this whole business on your wedding night and you'd say, oh, we messed that up. And then couples would start to get to know one another and they'd get a book which told you what to do and go, oh, who would have believed that people do that? Ooh. And all of that sort of thing.
You
find out together. And what sex therapy programs are all about is going back to that, finding out together, sort of rewiring your brain.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy may well have been watching porn as well. So that may be why it's the kind of sex that she doesn't want, because she's thinking that what people do when they in porn films.
The sex that maybe he doesn't feel comfortable with, because he thinks he has to do this sort of stuff. But actually, it's like, really, that doesn't really suit me either.
These days, we're getting round to there's a big flip away from, having casual sex and not talking about it to talking about it and taking more time.
Get someone that you feel comfortable with and get back to exploring and get out of your head of the porn stuff, what you should be doing, that sort of thing. And hopefully then you'll be more comfortable doing with sex.
Is that what you'd call mansplaining?
What I'm trying to do is encapsulate everything we've said.
You just repeated everything I've just said.
Yeah, but just I've condensed it. Just in case people admit that's
just because I didn't do it well enough, so you've got to do it again.
No, what you did was you just sort of sprawled and talked for ages.
I sprawled,
and
don't get me
wrong. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But what you did was you'd provide the detail, I provided the headline at the end. How's that?
Mansplaining.
That's good. Mum, you were the editor of Nursing Mirror, of a wonderful publication. You should know how these things go. You write the piece, I write the headline. Why are you not happy with that?
Okay.
Okay, Brill. Okay, here we go. We're about to write another piece here. Steady. Question for the pod, says someone on Instagram. Me, non-binary.
Actually, can I just go back to the guy from Nairobi? Please, could you let us know how you get on?
Yeah, please
Nairobi,
do.
And actually, send us a photo of your lunch.
Oh, yes. Funny enough, the next question actually mentions this. Yeah, let us know how you get on. And maybe,
let
us know some more context. Yeah. Because it'd be interesting to know why the sex life wasn't what she wanted. Yeah. Is that something that you've imagined, or is that something that's necessarily definitely true and they said?
Because when he said, how do I get more comfortable? I thought he was talking about pillows and things.
Yeah, which, to be honest, you know.
And positions, and it might well be. You know, who
pillow
knows?
Under the buttocks, always nice. Dickle. Making sure pillow on the head. What? It's true.
Pillow on the head. On the head.
Yeah, if you shut up.
Okay. Sorry. Question for the pod. Me.
Non-binary by 26 and my partner, non-binary by 22, have been together for 7 months. My partner has said she wants to go all the way with me, but she told me she grew up under Christian purity culture and involuntary panics when she thinks that we're doing something that's considered too sexual. I've told them that I would never cross any line she wasn't comfortable with, but I was wondering if there was anything else I could do slash say to support them. Cheers from Tennessee, USA. I use any pronouns. My partner uses she slash they. Sorry for not including any dinner picture. I scarf down cold pizzas at 2 a.m. when I get out of work.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, no dinner pic is always going to upset us. We do love pictures of dinner. Please, guys, keep sending those in to us on
Breakfast,
Instagram.
Even. Snacks.
Yeah. Just a meal. Mum loves them.
Any of them. What is the actual problem? Because you can reassure somebody as much as you like, but if they feel that what they're doing is wrong, it's going to take quite a bit to change that, isn't it?
Yes.
So I think that's what this is about. I mean, often the issue for some couples when they've come from a family where sex before marriage is considered not okay, they quite often will do other things. We'll have quite good fun, what we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
With the last chap. They'll have a lot of fun fooling around. And then when it comes to intercourse, it's no fun and they're disappointed. Mm. The thing is, you have to do both. It's not either or. And fooling around is sex. So if you've been fooling around, you're already having sex before marriage. So you've already ruined it, really. So
Oh God. So, is that gonna make them feel better if they hear this?
Well, I'm just saying you might as well just do what you feel like now. You've gone that far.
It reminds me of just an episode of a TV show I can't remember the name of, but it involves someone called Otis and someone called Dr. Gene Milburn. And there's people in that, there's Christians in that who aren't having sexual intercourse before marriage, God no, but they are having anal.
Oh gosh.
But that's sort of what we're talking about. They're doing everything, but it's the fooling around, but because it's not penis and vagina, don't worry, it's fine. But actually it's like, you know,
it definitely doesn't say
this. This is on the sexual, sexual spectrum.
The Bible is probably more approving of penis and vagina sex than it is of other things. Like mutual masturbation or something. That, what, you know, you're not supposed to spill your seed on the ground, are you? According to the Bible. Yeah. So I hope this isn't offending anyone. Probably is. I don't mean to. Apologies. No. But, you know, that's what the Bible says. So actually penis and vagina sex is, you know, more likely to end up with a baby. So it's probably more acceptable than the fooling around part.
Even outside of wedlock?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, because once you're in wedlock, it doesn't want you to, well, the Old Testament anyway, doesn't want you to do other stuff. It wants babies. But, you know, I mean, the involuntary panics, it's not involuntary panic, is it? It's that deep-rooted thing you've been brought up with that makes you think, I shouldn't be doing this.
Yes.
I can't wait to see how you're going to mansplain this. Anyway. So I feel for you. I really do. I think you're in a part of the States as well where a lot of people believe in purity. And it may well be that your partner is saying that she wants to go all the way, as you put it, when actually she really doesn't. And it really does go against the grain. And if you've been brought up not to do that and you don't want to do that, then I think don't try and reassure her. Just respect what she's saying.
Yeah, which, to be fair, it sounds like they are. And they're saying, you know, I've told them that I would never cross any line she wasn't comfortable with. But I wonder what I could do to support them, because it sounds like their partner does want to do this stuff. She has said she wants to go all the way with me.
Well, she said that. But she but she panics when it comes to it. So
the thing is, I don't think we can say here, you know, we have to take this person obviously we can be slightly skeptical, but I think there is a definite world in which this is absolutely the case. And this person is saying, and they are really up for it. But then, you know, just something will click every now and then. And then they'll go, oh God, maybe this is too much. But that's it. It's baby steps if they want them.
Yeah.
But also maybe it will come to a point where they go, actually, maybe I don't want this overall. But I mean, to be honest, whatever you're doing right now is the perfect thing to be doing, which isn't pushing them, isn't coercing them, isn't pressurizing them.
Hang on.
Yeah.
They're writing to us. Oh, what can I do to support them more? This guy wants to go all the way.
So you think that when they say support here, they mean manipulate.
What
can I do to make sure they bang me? Well, listen, all I'll say is I think what I'll do is I'll be the angel in this scenario. Like, you know, well, actually, maybe not a very good analogy.
I'm just thinking. Look what happens with angels.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is that, okay, maybe he does want to support them and just be like, because they might be freaked out and genuinely worried about the whole thing. But I feel like what you're doing to support them anyway is if you are genuine and you don't force it, you don't, you know, suggest it all the time or try and manipulate everything, and you just say, listen, I'm never going to push you to go further than you want. In fact, you can lead the way with everything, all that sort of stuff. Amazing, then that's good. However, Mum, would you like to take the opposite view, which is fuck you, dickhead, don't manipulate and have sex with you?
Well, I think shut up about it for now. Yeah.
Yeah, and which see, I think is kind of the same. We have the same viewpoint.
Well,
there.
Yeah, and see when she mentions it again. Because I mean, if they're getting into a sort of kissing situation or something, and he starts snapping out the condoms.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
like, oh, here's one I got out of the packet.
Yeah, and I mean, right, what are we on for it tonight? How's your panic?
Yeah.
You know, then...
Yeah. What's God saying? Is he around today?
Oh, don't. That'd
yeah.
be blasphemous.
What? Sorry.
And this is somebody that was going to send us a dinner picture. Come on.
Yeah, have I ruined it?
Oh, dear. Anyway.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, never, wouldn't cross any line. Okay, so stop talking about it. Just enjoy what's possible. I would say... Have a conversation about what activities, what sexual activities they are comfortable with,
mm-hmm.
and stick to those until that changes.
Wonderful.
Do that.
Yeah.
And exactly. You'll have a lovely time.
There you go. Hey, you wrote your own bloody headline there. Didn't even need me.
I mansplained myself.
That always feels so much better.
Yeah.
Mansplaining yourself.
Yeah.
Amazing. Let's have one more before the break, because they all sort of come into the same, these three. They're all sort of about feeling comfortable about sex. So here we go. This one is from...
They're from all over the world again, aren't they?
Yeah, this one's another good one. From one of my favourite countries. 21-year-old single female. I have a traumatic history with sex that's affected my desire/ability to have sex, which has made me nervous to approach a new relationship. Since finishing therapy, I've removed the guilt of feeling turned on and began to explore things on my own to help me feel more comfortable. However, now I can't fall asleep without an orgasm. Is this something to worry about, or is this because I'm exploring/discovering things for the first time? And any advice on how to approach this topic, history with sex, with a new partner? Straight women... 21 from Scotland, smiley face. I found the podcast whilst writing my essay for my psychology degree.
Oh, well, that's impressive.
Mm.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I mean, whenever you learn a new skill, don't you want to practice it?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah. So there probably is something here about wanting to have a go because you've discovered something for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you said, nothing wrong with that. As far as your trauma's concerned, I don't see why you need to approach this topic with a new partner. I think all you need to do is be clear about what's okay, what are your boundaries? And you don't have to give a reason for that. You can just say, yeah, I don't do that. This isn't my thing. I don't do that. I don't want to do that yet. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Can we just do this? And I'm not ready.
I find it really hot if we...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's also positive spins.
Oh, absolutely.
Sort of
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But positive spins, yes. But I mean, I'm not using them because I don't think it's... I mean, obviously, yes, it's a great way to go, to be as positive as you can. But I don't feel like you need to feel that you have to apologise for having boundaries.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That's why I wasn't approaching it that way.
Yeah, gotcha.
So the thing is, there's absolutely nothing wrong with having boundaries, and actually you can model good boundary setting by doing that. Mm. And there's nothing wrong with that. And if you're having a nice time and you're telling someone you're having a nice time and you're enjoying one another's company and what you are doing is pleasant, then no problem at all. And if you freak out and it's not pleasant, you can say, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm just not in that place, or this isn't, you know, I suddenly feel a bit triggered. And they'll understand. I mean, I think they'll get the message that something's happened, but you don't have to go and tell everybody everything. You know, they don't actually deserve an explanation, right? You don't have to do that. Women tend to take on all the emotional responsibility. I'm always saying this. The partner might have a terrible trauma history anyway, quite likely that they do. They're probably not going to tell you.
That's not saying that you can't ever tell them.
No, not at all. Of course not.
It's just, but you can pick and choose when you want. I wouldn't say this is one of those things where it's sort of like, well, but how are you allowed to get into a relationship with them if they don't know all the information?
That's rubbish.
This is something that's so intensely, that can be so intensely personal. Mm. And I mean, if it made you more comfortable letting someone know, sure, but you might feel more comfortable letting them know when you're more comfortable with them and things are maybe a bit more serious. So absolutely don't feel the need to be super specific. And if you set boundaries, like Mama said, in the way that she said them, such as, oh, I just don't feel comfortable. Or if you even said something like, oh, it's just a bit triggering, you know, I'm you know, whatever. And they disregard those, run for the fucking hills.
Absolutely. Good point.
Yeah. So, you know, even if you're like, oh, but if they didn't have all the information, and then how would they know? Well, you've given them enough information there. If they can't take the hint from that and they still...
if you still don't want to do it, that's pretty clear.
Sack them off. Exactly. Okay. And then, but just to quickly go back to that first bit as well, we did say, didn't we, that orgasming every night before bed, I feel like so many people will do that, you know. Mm. People say it's like it's their perfect little nightcap or whatever, you know. Cheeky wank, then bed. You know, that's so normal and fine. So don't worry about that. Some people do way worse things to get to sleep.
Way, way worse. And, you know, it's not even bad.
Sorry, I said worse as if this is one of the bad things. Yeah, literally
it's not
nothing
a bad,
bad about
it's not
this.
Bad
yeah.
Thing. No.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that this person has had an experience which has made them, or experiences which has made them nervous to approach relationships and affected their ability to be sexual. But, you know, I'm really, really pleased that you've been brave and had therapy.
That's
fantastic.
Amazing
news.
Yeah.
And, you know, now you're emerging, blinking into the sunlight, doing something that people take years to do. You get into sex much more gradually than you're probably thinking. Just like with the first person, you know, you don't jump in and expect to be proficient, if you want to put it that way, you know, in 5 minutes, when you've only just met someone for a start, when you don't know them at all, when you may not meet them again. You know,
exactly.
Just take it easy and enjoy. Meet people.
And do it when you're ready, not because you think you should be telling this person, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. Mm. You do it when you're ready. You're so right. Reading this message is so lovely and exciting for that person, isn't it? It's so great.
Really,
they're 21 and you know, orgasm, you know, they're doing it's so good.
I just
love
the idea that she's excited by it now.
Yeah, exactly. That's class. This is such a positive message. Nothing wrong with what you're doing. Keep at it. Amazing. Okay, let's have a break and we'll be back after this.
Woohoo.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is, but that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Drinking with dignity. Yes, sir. Yes, madam. That's me all over.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome back to The Real Sex Education After School. I just wanted to read out another lovely review we've had on Apple Podcasts. Ooh. This is from J-Op, and they've said, such a unique format, an interesting dialogue considering the relationship of the host. Show idea, birds and bees talk, sex education and tips/tricks your younger self received versus way you know. Sorry, I read that one verbatim. Sorry, I've read it verbatim. That's all I don't know what to say.
Can you mansplain it, please?
Let's have another go at that. Can I just say, J-Up, I really appreciate this message. Thank you so much. But I think what they're trying to say is, maybe how would you talk to your younger self about sex now?
Oh.
If you could give yourself one thing to your younger self, what would you say?
One piece of advice.
Sexual relationship related.
Don't wear big pants.
Really?
What?
Why not?
They leave elastic marks.
If they're big? So you mean don't wear tight pants if they leave elastic marks?
I mean, were you expecting something like relax?
Yeah, probably. Or... I mean, the problem is the older you get, you're probably just going to say all that stuff. It's not really good advice, is it? But I was going to say the same. I was going to be like, smile.
Smile.
They love it when you smile.
Who does?
The people you're shagging.
Oh, I've got this picture of people shagging away with soppy bloody grins on their faces.
Do you know what?
Keeping their eyes open so they can see the other one smiling away.
Oh, God.
Bloody hell.
I feel like
wearing big pants.
How much of this can I say? I definitely have in the past, sorry, Mum, maybe headphones off, but I've definitely in the past sort of someone's looked at me during the act and I've been like, do something. And I've smiled and they've been like, don't do that again.
Terrifying.
Definitely. Yeah, exactly. But you can almost see, they don't even need to say anything, you can almost see them be like, what was that? And you're like, I don't know, I just want to make it look like I'm enjoying myself, which I am.
Do you know the way chihuahuas, if you look at a chihuahua, they go like that?
Yeah, sort of weird.
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining. Yeah.
What are they, baring their teeth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's yeah. Awful.
Okay. So advice to young selves: don't do that.
Don't smile. Don't bare your teeth.
Yeah. Crumbs. Okay. Well, hopefully, J-Up, you can enjoy that one. Here we go. Another question here, and the next two again quite similar. So I might read them both out, and then we can answer both.
Okay.
This one comes from Denmark, female, 19, bisexual, autistic, on antidepressants. And they say, me and my boyfriend have lovely sex, but I don't really orgasm that often when we do. I generally have a hard time getting orgasms, and I don't know how to change that. It bothers my boyfriend that I seemingly don't get as much pleasure as he does, even though I try to reassure him that I enjoy sex regardless. I don't want to fake it to make him at ease, but I can't force him to be satisfied with me not orgasming. Should I learn how to come more often, and how? Or what should I do? Let's quickly halt that one. Mum's making a face. The second one says, I recently lost my virginity to my girlfriend and we've had sex multiple times since then. We both enjoy it, but I can't seem to reach a true orgasm. I sometimes come close, but then it's like I just get pulled out of it. I have no problem reaching orgasm when masturbating, with or without porn, but the problem arises when I'm with my partner. Any suggestions? Male, 23, straight.
These are different questions.
But they're both about not being able to orgasm.
But they're different.
They are different.
Yeah,
so
I think they require different answers.
I'm sure they do. That's almost my point. So which one would you like to tackle first?
Okay, the first one first.
Okay, let's do it.
Right. Okay, so this is the person again.
Sorry, just you playing with your little piece of paper and looking down at it. You've gone so sex therapist mode. You are so in the zone right now. You're very professional. I just can't wait to give a mansplaining headline to whatever you're about to say. But do go on.
Me and my boyfriend have lovely sex. Isn't that nice? So what the hell is the problem? Lots of people don't orgasm that often.
Mm.
Lots of people don't. Maybe try taking your boyfriend's hand or head or whatever you want him to work with and, you know, showing him what you like. People have a hard time getting orgasms when they're not relaxed, mainly. But also, you are on antidepressants, and I think you know that antidepressants can make it difficult to orgasm.
Mm, yeah, that's so, such a key piece of information.
But the other thing that makes it difficult is somebody wanting you to.
Yes, this is the response pressure.
If you want to have an orgasm, have an orgasm. You don't have to do it to please him.
Yeah, it bothers my boyfriend. Well, you know.
Tough turnips.
Yeah, get over it, mate.
Yeah.
You know.
This isn't all about your ego, right?
Yeah, the boy's ego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not all about his ego. When you say, I seemingly don't get as much pleasure as he does, seemingly, that's the word, isn't it? All the research says women don't always want an orgasm. Sometimes they just want to be close. They enjoy what they're doing. It's lovely. And they're quite happy without an orgasm. If you want an orgasm, you can make sure you get it. You know, you can give it to yourself. You can take his hand and get it. You know, there are so many things that you can do. If you're desperate for one, you're not though, are you? You're happy.
Yeah.
You have lovely sex.
Who is desperate for you to have one is your boyfriend.
And why, for goodness sake? Because probably, again, too much porn, looking at women screaming the place down. You know, that doesn't happen in real life. We've had this conversation. Just listen to back numbers. We just talk about this all the time. You know, far fewer women orgasm with just intercourse. You know, you need additional stimulation. It's probably not going to work. So, you know, and if you know that somebody is trying to make you come, you won't come. Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
A watched kettle never boils.
Precisely.
Yeah. Although I did see a great tweet thread the other day about, this is something we'll put on the questions on Spotify, so please answer this question for us. But what are sayings that you hate? You know, idioms that you just hate, such as a watched kettle never boils.
Why is that something you hate?
Well, because it bloody well does, doesn't it?
What, never boil?
No, a kettle will boil if you watch it. It just will take, you know.
Oh, it takes ages though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but, you know.
Feels
it's
like,
also like. It's also like, oh, I'll tell you that for free. Put that money away. I'll tell you for free. It's like, yeah. Anyway, it's like, something to think about.
You certainly will, yeah. I know.
Let's put that as, because we haven't done a question for a while, so I'll put that in the on Spotify so you can answer that question. And let us know in the comments as well on YouTube. Anyway, sorry. So I completely agree with that. I won't do a little sum up because you've done a great job, but how is the other question different then? Because this is a young man who can't orgasm.
I've forgotten what the question was.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I shouldn't have read them out together. They've recently lost their virginity. They've had sex multiple times since then, but they can't have a true orgasm. Apparently, they get close, but they can't ever do it. But when they masturbate, with or without porn, they can orgasm fine.
Is this person talking about ejaculation? Because you can orgasm and not ejaculate. You can.
So maybe when they say true orgasm, they are orgasming, but it's without
ejaculating. But sperm. I mean, or it might be that they can't ejaculate. We've talked a lot about delayed ejaculation, so I would refer you back to the episode on delayed ejaculation. But this sounds to me just like a matter of being anxious and just wait, you know, just have more sex and enjoy it and don't be worried about this. This is normal. This happens to people. You know, sometimes you orgasm, sometimes you don't. It's not normal to orgasm every single time. There is not a man alive who hasn't lost his erection sometimes. There isn't a man alive, or if it hasn't happened to you yet, I promise you it will one day, who won't not climax one day. It happens. We're all human. Sometimes we're anxious. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we're nervous. Sometimes we're drunk. There are all sorts of reasons. And, you know, if you're under pressure to do something, I can promise you now you won't do it. And if you're being told not to, you will. If somebody's, if she says, whatever you do, do not climax, bet you will.
Yeah. I mean, again, that phrasing's interesting, but that is, I think I saw a stand-up talk about that the other day where they were like, the hottest thing you can say to a guy is don't come. So just get your girlfriend to say that.
Well, no, because you'll know what she means and then that will be pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what I mean. It's like, you know, someone's got a huge nose and you think to yourself, oh, just don't mention their nose. You'll just go, you know, you'll just say, blimey, what a conk. You know, you'll just come out.
What the hell? from?
I don't know. I'm really sorry to anybody with a nose.
With a huge conch. What does that even mean?
It's so rude. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know what came over me.
I don't know.
But that's exactly what I mean. When you say don't do that, while I was starting to speak, I was thinking, now don't be offensive. Whatever you're going to say, Kate, don't be offensive. And then immediately I'm really offensive. You see what I mean?
Have I got a big conch?
No.
Really? Because sometimes I do look at my nose and I am like, from my profile, and I think, you look a little bit like some sort of pelican.
It's like a Roman nose, your nose.
What's a Roman nose?
Oh, much coveted.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Very handsome.
Thanks. Thanks, Mum. Well, wonderful.
Right,
I'll have to go away.
So, just go away and relax then, guys. Is the message from this episode?
Is the message for both of them. Yeah, go away and relax. How to feel comfortable about sex. Relax. Relax, baby.
Chillax.
And don't think about the shoulds and I oughts and all that
don't
sort of
worry.
Stuff. Relax.
Stop worrying.
And zone in on the things that you are enjoying and focus on that and enjoy that. The things you're enjoying, not that you ought to be enjoying, that you ought to be doing. The things that you
keep well away from outcomes. Just have you know, all the research suggests that people who are very satisfied with sex and have a lovely time do not expect an orgasm every time and do not worry about whether they have one or not.
There we go. Wonderful. No need for me to headline that. You've smashed it. Me telling you smashed it is me mansplaining again, but there we are. We love you, everyone listening, and you, J-Op, for your lovely, lovely review. Everyone, please keep sending your reviews in. You can review us on Spotify. Go to our show page. It should be at the top. You can just give us 5 stars there or something. Mm-hmm. Apple, it's at the bottom of the show page. You've got to scroll down past the episodes and stuff, but you'll find it. You can even write a lovely review there. And like I say, sometimes if they're nice reviews like J-Op's, we read them out on the show. Comment on YouTube. I've already asked a question. What your favorite or least favorite idioms and sayings are. And what else? You know, subscribe and follow, and then we'll see you next week for some more real sex education.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.